Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Also visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. Become a Patreon and we'll shout your name out and stuff like that. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's our old friend. It's been a while. She's had an entire lifetime in between when we last spoke to her. She's now a PhD. Yeah. It's art historian Lauren James. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me. It's so to be back.
Of course. So we talked last time about some kind of art thing, I assume, right?
So yes. Aliens in ancient art. Not ancient, yeah. But
Da Vinci, but, like Da Vinci, yeah. And like the weird UFOs and stuff. Kind of, yeah. Thing, right?
The cool stuff. The stuff that only like the real nerds of the world actually take time to look at. That's what we talked about.
Sure. Other than that, are you into paranormal and conspiracies and stuff like that?
Oh my God, yes. Like hardcore. I am a huge fan of the paranormal. I think we've talked about it before, but I have an low-key, it's a manageable obsession with ghost hunting shows. That's kind of my kryptonite. I love the paranormal. I think it's all so fascinating. You know,
who's the best ghost hunter?
Yeah, oh, what's the best show?
The show that I was watching, they got canceled on Travel Channel, and now they're Project Fear on YouTube. Now they're pretty cool, but I think everyone's like number one that they all go to is Ghost Adventures with Zach Bagans, just because he's so dramatic. He gaslights air. He like starts screaming at ghosts to like punch him, and then he gets mad when he's like scratched about it. Like it's hilarious.
He's the only one that I've seen, and it immediately like delegitimized the entire genre for me. I like, he would just set up sticks precariously, and then eventually they would fall down because we're on a spinning fucking globe and there's wind and shit.
And like the tectonic plates are moving constantly. Right. So like things happen.
Yeah, things fall down.
Not want to believe. Yeah, he makes people not want to believe in ghosts. The one that I do like, he's on Travel Channel, but he does Expedition X, Expedition Unknown. His name is Josh Gates. I'm a huge fan.
Willie, do you watch these shows or?
No, I don't. Hold on, I'm about to sneeze.
I went to him at the right time.
Exactly. Your timing's impeccable.
So does this guy actually, does it feel like he's actually seeing stuff or not? Do any of them feel like that?
No, they never find anything. He goes on adventures for like Atlantis. He goes on adventures for like, you know, Arthur's fucking round table, you know, the sword and the stone.
But I love that. But that's fun. That's fun stuff. I like that. We've solved Atlantis. We already know where that is.
I know. We've solved most of the big conspiracies. The thing I do appreciate about him is he does it as scientifically as he possibly can. So he'll get like experts in, you know, geographical fields, or he'll get expert archaeologists, or he'll get special scuba divers or something to do it alongside him. So he's not like, I'm just going to go take the boat out for the day and try and look for Atlantis like on my own in the middle of the ocean.
Right. Yeah. We talked about kind of getting guests like that, but then I feel like they would just ruin the show. Because it would be like so many facts. We would just be like, okay.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's an interview show with the professional that has like a 1-hour spiel to get out. It's like, well, that doesn't work for our show. My problem with ghost shows is I love the setup of the places. I just feel like there's so much drama to get into it. And I'm like, well, I've never had a good payoff. And I'm like, I know that it's different, people experiencing stuff versus getting it on camera. You know, there's definitely, I think even the equipment itself puts out energy and that like can interfere with that. But
I think it's just like when you talk about Ghost Bros, which is what I call Ghost Adventurer.
That's the best name for that I've ever heard. That should be their new like tagline.
I don't know why it's not. Like, lean into it. You're a bro. And this is all fake. But like when that show first came out, it was at a time where it felt like all of reality television, even game shows and stuff, were really, really high drama, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, I feel like these days, maybe this Project X or whatever it's called, what'd you call it?
Expedition Unknown.
Mm-hmm. Expedition X, that's what I was thinking. Like, maybe that's watchable because of the production, you know, like if it's more, yeah. I don't know if it's more of like a documentary kind of thing. Because I would get down with that, you know?
It feels like a travel documentary. Like, he's narrating the whole time. He's talking to you. He's doing weird, funny stuff in the city. He's telling the worst dad jokes you've ever heard. And it's actually entertaining to listen to.
I wonder if he needs writers.
Honestly, his stuff could use punching up, although it's hilarious. But he never finds anything, even though you want him to so bad. He went on this like insane samurai journey all through Japan, and he was like in Kyoto, and he had, you know, all of the ceremonial dress on, and you know, all of the katana, like all of it, and you're just like, what are you doing? Like, you're not finding anything, you're just messing around with a sword. But okay, this is fun because it's dramatic no matter which way you cut it, but at least he's not like screaming at demons to scratch him, so there's right. like it's leveled out, I guess.
I really like the Ghost Hunter show, the first one with like Grant Wilson.
Oh yeah.
Now he's moved on from that show and he's just trying to help people deal with their issues at their house or, you know, poltergeist.
Oh, he started conning people. Now he's just taking money straight from them instead of through the advertisers.
Well, when we did that con out east, like he was there and like, I forget what it's called. We were trying to find ghosts walking around with equipment and there was no activity at the Mabel Tainter, but he just sat down and like opened up to everybody. He's just such a cool dude.
Yeah.
Wait, he's the guy who ran the ghost hunt?
They had a ghost investigation every night and you didn't go to his because you experienced that first one, which was not very good.
Listen, a dream of mine to go on a ghost hunt. Oh my God.
It sucks.
I want to so badly.
It's you and like 20 people, and it's not scary because there's people everywhere. It sucks. Let's get into the WOW scale, though.
WOW scale. The WOW scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. After he asks all the questions, he's going to give you a score. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be weighed on the WOW scale?
I am.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, I believe in aliens. Yes, I believe they visited Earth. I would like to say yes in the last 300 years, but I don't know. I can't say definitively. So is that's a maybe?
No, you can say yes. I mean, if you believe in like the 50s stuff, if you believe that they're around, then like,
I mean, it would be crazy not to believe that there is intelligent life form in some other variation of our solar system or a solar system past us that hasn't figured out how to make it here. I just think there has to be life somewhere else. And we have too many weird phenomena on planet Earth to, you know, explain it all away with science. I think there has to be some type of other being here.
All right. I'm putting you down for yeses. Yeah. All right. Question 2.
Oh, sorry.
What?
Go on.
Okay. I get mad when he interrupts this process.
Okay.
Question 2, hard. Ghosts. Yeah. Ghosts.
Hell yes.
Do you have a ghost story?
I have been haunted by a ghost and I have been scratched by a ghost.
Ooh.
What's the scratch story? Yeah.
I got scratched. We were at, you're never going to believe it, but we were at the Queen Mary and we were wandering around and you can visit the like basement space of it. You can go down this like creepy staircase and we were standing there and I was with my mom and my sister and there were a couple other people in there and all of a sudden I got marks all down the side of my neck and I got marks on my arm and they were like in threes.
Did you feel it happening?
It burned so badly. It was out of nowhere too. I hadn't touched anything. I wasn't wearing a jacket. I had like a t-shirt on. So no one was like standing close enough to bump me. And it came out of nowhere. And then we go upstairs and they disappeared.
Really?
Yes. Hand to Bible, that happened.
I assume your family saw all of it and it was an event because you experienced it. Did you get any pictures of it?
I didn't get any pictures of it because I was so in the moment of freaking out that it was happening to me. And
what was your family reacting like?
My family was like, what is going on? My mom was like, do I have cortisone in my bag? Like, did you bump up into something? Like, what's going on? Are you having an allergic reaction? This is so creepy. And my sister was like, this isn't real. Like, this can't be happening to you. And I was just standing there going, oh my God, I'm being attacked by a ghost. Like, it was the full scale of emotions. Yeah. It was crazy.
Was there any authority people there that could have filled you in?
There was a very nice older gentleman that was standing at the doors to like enter this area. And he was like, oh, that happens all the time down here. We have ghosts that try to get your attention. Sometimes it's children. Sometimes it's the adults who like have trouble communicating. But I guess his like whole thing was there was a pretty angry spirit in the basement that particularly targeted women.
Wow.
And yeah. Then he was like, a lot of women get scratched, especially on like their arms. Like he's grabbing them.
The guy doesn't know it's like 2020 or whenever you went there. Like that, you can't do that shit anymore, man. You need consent.
I know. The ghost definitely didn't ask if it was cool, but listen, I was cool with it because I was so excited. I 100% believe in ghosts. And I was like, even though it might be a pissed off spirit, I totally had an encounter.
It makes me think of a show where you find out that the caretaker has figured out a way to trap ghosts in a place. And they're like a zoo putting on a show and trying to get out.
Literally, right? They're like, let me out of here. That's kind of what it feels like in there. You're like, it just feels like a spirit zoo. Like you go from, like you said, like you go from room to room. And they'll explain that, oh, there's children that play in here. And you're like, well, it's the nursery. And of course, they're going to be
children. Well, let me ask you this. Did you believe in ghosts before you went down there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I did.
Not that really has a play. I'm just like,
I believed in ghosts because I was driving home. Oh, I've always kind of believed in ghosts. But I was driving home and I was all by myself. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was driving past Glendale Forest Lawn Memorial, the cemetery.
Big cemetery.
Yeah, the big giant one. And I was completely by myself. And all of a sudden I look in my rearview mirror and there was a man sitting in my back seat. And I freaked out. I pulled over, I turned around and there was nobody there.
That's the worst.
I cried. I pulled over. I called my mom. I was freaking out. I was like, I think someone's here in my car, but I didn't want to get out of the car because it was so late and I was alone on the freeway and I was driving home from my friend's house. It was wild.
Do you think they're dead people or what do you think's going on?
I think it was the spirit from the cemetery. I think it was absolutely
Think there's some kind of cross-dimensional thing happening? Because I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen anything scary like a ghost. It feels like only people who are open to it experience it.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because I'm like, that's a whole different thing if you didn't.
I'm thinking about like just we see and we hear. We have like 5 senses. And like, you know, that's not all of the dimensions. Yeah. So I'm kind of leaning toward like, if you're more open, you can kind of see those things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you definitely have to be energetically willing to experience it, or why would a spirit waste their time trying to connect with you if you're not going to respond to it? But I also think that you have to be a little honest with yourself about willing to experience it. Are you also opening yourself up to the power of persuasion? And are what you experiencing, like, is what you're going through real? Like, can you debunk it in any way? I think you have to like put yourself through that test. Like, okay, is the window open? Is the alarm going off? Are there people around? Is it traffic? Like, what is it? But I think maybe there is some type of cross between our world or our dimension or our version of whatever this galactic sphere is, like whatever we want. I mean, I would be shocked if there wasn't some type of like crossover. I mean, there's a lot of people on the planet that have experienced way more intense things than what I've ever experienced.
Sucks for that guy in your back seat. He just wanted to take a little drive, get out of the cemetery.
I know.
Roller coaster ride,
and then you freak out.
That's a car.
My friend who I called because I was leaving her house, and she was like, oh, it's the hitchhiking ghost from Disney's sort of like Haunted Mansion where they're like in the ride with you as you're leaving. And I'm like, that's not funny. That's not funny. You don't get to say that to me. I'm like in my car freaking out.
Have fun driving home.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't sleep that night. I was awake all night. Even though I was like open to it, I was absolutely terrified. But it
was that the haunting that you experienced?
Yes. But I also think that there is a spirit that lives here because I will be downstairs and all of a sudden I hear like footsteps just super loud, like bang, 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 bang. Nobody but me is home. The TV will turn on and off. I'll hear full like talking and then I'll walk over to where I hear it and it's dead silent.
What area are you in?
I'm in Moore Park in California.
Okay.
Do you want to experience it or do you want to salt it away?
I will totally be open to experiencing it if it's a benevolent ghost, if it's just a spirit here trying to communicate with me, not causing any problems, as long as my stuff doesn't get broken or there's no like poltergeist activity, no possession, I'm into it. If I feel like it's a super negative spirit, salt and exorcism and like crystals in the corner, that will be involved immediately. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts.
All right. So you're a huge ghost head. Question three, Bigfoot.
There's part of me that really wants to say yes, but the logistical side of my brain says no. If we were going to find a Bigfoot, we probably would have found something by now. The evidence just doesn't add up to what we want it to be. So I'm going to go with no, even though in my heart, I want to say yes.
Okay. Four, Illuminati.
Yes. My God.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What's your version? What's your version of the Illuminati?
Not a good thing. I'm not on board the New World Order train, but I definitely believe that it's a thing.
Do you think it's like Jay-Z is in the Illuminati and yes. Beyonce?
There's weird shit happening with that. It's like it's just too many subliminal messages. It's all too coincidental. Call me crazy. Give me a tinfoil hat for that one for sure. Cause I'm like,
right. Just what it's like. I try to find what I need to do is make a collection of the music videos that have the symbolism and the death and rebirth.
I mean, you know, Doja Cat's music video, if anyone tries to tell me that that is not a satanic ritual, I'm going to laugh in your face.
Right. Like, and then her big transition, not that it matters that she shaved her head, but she got really mean after that too.
Yeah,
she's like really mean now.
It's weird, right? It's all weird. And I mean, like, listen, I was maybe one of the number one Sam Smith fans around and I am so here for drag and like experiencing yourself in your own body and playing with fashion. Clothes don't have a gender, but whatever has happened to him ever since the Unholy music video with like that whole ritual in that thing, I'm like, who are you? Because you're completely different. Play with clothes and like do what you want musically. But
yeah, that's a good example. I always forget, you know, between those two, they're very like on the newer end. And
It's just too weird to not believe it for me.
Okay. Last question.
It's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Well, it's tough because like I know of Doja Cat and I've definitely heard a Sam Smith song, but I don't know anything about either of that. I'm like old now and I'm understanding like how hard it is. Well, especially now that the world is like at such a rapid pace pop culturally that like it changes like every 2 years, there's something. And I'm just like, I don't have there's no capacity in my brain to like keep up with this anymore.
Yeah. It definitely takes up a lot of brain space.
Like Sam Smith, he's kind of like, what's the genre of him?
Pop?
What's Lay Me Down? That's his number one, right? Lay Me Down.
Yeah. It's like a pop ballad. I'd say pop.
Is it like Mumford and Sons? Or
sing it.
Yeah. Well, just sing it.
Sing it. No, thank you. But thank you so much. I know the first rule of improv is to say yes and, but I'm saying hell no. Absolutely not. Like, no, thank you.
I just think artists are weird. And like,
artists are weird.
And they are increasingly younger when they become successful. I don't think they really know who they are at that time. And so they're discovering themselves in front of everybody. And it's gotta warp you. Even if you discover who you actually are, it's then like twisted through this like lens of like everyone watching it happen. And it's got to be tough, you know?
I mean, I completely agree. And I think a great example of that, but also a great example kind of for both of us, is Miley Cyrus. I mean, Miley Cyrus went through a full mental like breakdown through her like happy hippie days and like getting high all the time and no clothes on, but she also never did a satanic music video. So like, you can go through a full, complete and utter breakdown of who you are and what you believe in and then reconfigure yourself publicly, but you don't have to do it with like these evil symbolic images behind you. I don't know. And I'm not like a Bible thumper.
No, like, yeah, I know. I'm working through it with you on that, where I'm like, but I think Satanism is cool, but it's really not even Satanism. It's just like these images are known to be evil, regardless of what you actually think about. I mean, the Church of Satan is not real.
It's not inherently evil. No.
Right. Because it's just
they're the original trolls. I love them.
Yeah. I think it's fun. It's very fun.
Yeah.
Especially now where there's all these laws being passed and they're like, oh yeah, put us in schools. We can't wait. It's
yeah. So right. Fun, dude. That was actually really funny to see.
All right. Last question. The multiverse. Do you believe in the multiverse, or what are your thoughts on it?
I guess I'd have to say yes. I think I'm going full scale Willy on this one. Like I said about aliens, I think it would be naive to think that there isn't a possibility of some type of crossover with either another solar system or another universe entirely. I mean, we are a rock the size of a grain of sand floating in a never-ending vast space of nothingness. There's no possibility that there isn't something else out there for me or for us, or that there isn't some crossover.
No, yeah, I don't that know. Answer.
Plus, it's fun as hell to think that there's like a pop star version of me in a different multiverse, or like me is like a Princess Diana character in another multiverse, or like, you know, what the other yous would be doing. I think that's fun. Plus, Marvel's answered all of those questions for us. So
yeah, they really fucking ruined the multiverse for everybody.
They kind of did, didn't they?
That's so stale now. It's like, that's, I don't care.
Anything so, after Endgame and I'm over it.
Yeah, I think that's the general consensus. Who knows? Maybe it'll come back. Do you watch Deadpool and Wolverine?
What'd
you think?
You did?
I laughed the whole time. I thought it was hilarious.
A lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. But also, even though they're like in the MCU now, my brain is like, no, Endgame is the MCU and Deadpool and Wolverine are, they're on the other side of like the comic book world.
Yeah, so the Sony world.
Yeah, it's still separate in my head.
Okay, well, you are a 4 because you don't believe in Bigfoot.
Okay.
So you're almost a full Willy, but you're not a full Willy.
Okay.
How do you feel? Do you feel okay about that?
I feel great. I mean, being a partial Willy, it's fantastic. It's the best thing ever, right?
Yeah, 4/5 Willy, it's pretty good.
That's pretty great.
You'll get there.
All right.
You'll get there.
Hopefully I'll get back on the Bigfoot train one day.
I'll send you some Bigfoot videos and then you come back.
Okay, good. Please do it. I'd love to see you.
It's just Willy in the park. Willy, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, AI relationships and the future of dating. In the near future, and if not now, relationships will be heavily influenced by artificial intelligence and the use of the internet. Can AI help individuals find compatible partners? Advanced matchmaking algorithms and intelligence, is it enough to really help people match, or are we doomed to experience the terminator of our future relationships? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. Ultimately, this topic came out because I've seen some articles where it's like AI dating is just ruining a whole generation of men.
Well, hang on. Is there already AI dating?
We're definitely in the early stages, but there are at least 5 apps out there.
What do they do, though? Like, what is the premise of the app? Like, how does it?
I know for one of them, there's like an AI algorithm that uses AI to match you profile to profile. Instead of you like doing the swiping, it kind of does the swiping for you based on the information you've trained it to learn, essentially.
That's just Match, right? That's just Match.com. Remember Match.com? It would like, you're a 90% match.
But they really had, you know, like picture this question, and this is a bad example, but like, what's your favorite color? oh, you know what? Gina's favorite color is yours too. And so like, I feel like a lot of the questions were not deep enough into your psyche where it's just like, fucking everybody loves Star Wars. Like,
I
get your point. It was a little deeper than that. It was like, because I did one and then I never, all my matches were huge Uggos, so I just stopped. But
oh my god, that's hilarious. Honestly, Wade, I get it.
But the questions were more like, yeah, I think there were surface level ones. I don't even remember, but it was like, how do you handle this situation or something? You know, like almost like a person. It was more of a personality test than anything.
Yeah, that's kind of what they are now still, though.
A lot of the main basic ones just felt like you're flipping through a yearbook. It's like, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So this one looks good.
Right, like a superlative, like you're most likely to. It's like, I'm most likely to like drink a glass of wine at the end of a hard day.
Like, yeah, and then I get to read a sentence that is just like, so basic. You know,
yeah. But I think it's interesting now. I know for me, and I'd love to know both of your thoughts, I have used AI technology to help me write answers to some of the questions for my dating profiles.
Oh, that's
cheating.
How is it cheating? If it helps make it sound more coherent and a little more succinct and to the point, because I'm a rambler, I could yap and yap all day long. If it helps
you're gonna meet this guy or girl, I don't know, and then you're gonna ramble and they're gonna be like, whoa, her profile was so succinct.
I can give a succinct answer in person because I'm not worried about the swiping at that point. If you're sitting in front of me, you're obviously there for a reason, just like I am. But if you're on the dating website, you're just sitting there swiping and swiping and swiping.
I got a coin collection and I like movies.
Literally. Or it's the dude holding a fish, like asking you if you want to go on a hike. Like, that's the only option. So, like, I do it so my profile.
Are we
going
to have to eat that thing?
Oh, God, I hope not.
I use AI for writing. I use it for job stuff a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But So these AIs, they're just basically match.com is what I'm hearing.
So,
just more advanced.
That's what they're trying to lean towards in that realm. And you know, like no matter how great the AI gets, it's still never going to get two people perfectly together. I mean, like, actually, from everything that I've experienced with humans, you guys would be a perfect match. Because I don't know if AI knows what a perfect match is. I'm sure that they've interviewed couples that have been together for a long time. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think that it really has the capacity should be with them.
It just watches Harry Met Sally. It watches all the, when it cuts to the old couples talking about why they love each other.
I just built the
AI around that.
I fucking love that movie, but the most depressing thing about that movie, and I know that it may have been improv and not all those relationships are real, but it has that same tone of the time where it's like, you know, I just kept asking her out until she said yes. And he's like, yeah, he never stopped. And it's like, I couldn't handle it. So I just said yes. And now we're married. It's like, right? And so that's what gets me about AI being used for websites, but also these, you know, AI dating apps that they have. Is that like, my biggest issue with AI, having an AI mate, it doesn't really have to say no. And it's not a real person. So it kind of can set you up.
I just want to be clear. We're talking about an AI that matches two humans, right? We're not talking about someone dating an AI, are we?
We're talking about both. We're talking about both.
To answer that question, I know that one of the higher-ups at Bumble did an interview with NBC, and she was talking about how there's this new thing called AI Concierge, and essentially it's building a dating platform where your AI stand-in, your AI concierge, goes on a date with another AI concierge. And if you're a match, then the real humans get involved.
That is cool.
Wow.
I love that.
If not, you get to swipe, so you don't have to do all of the interfacing with hundreds of people all the time. it saves you.
So you can make time. You can make your concierge like say the same lies that you do and stuff like that.
Yeah. Literally, you can teach it to like mimic you and respond the way you would respond.
Oh my God.
And it will go
teach
on.
Teach it all my best like, stories.
Literally, it'll teach you all of the cool tricks. It'll tell you all, like, you'll know all the best, like, pickup lines. Just sit there and be like, hey, how's it going? You know, the best openers. So you don't have to do it yourself.
That's also cool for the first date because then. You can talk about what you think that date was like between your two AIs. It's a good kind of like ice breaking way to break the ice with someone.
Yeah. I mean,
is that in practice? I'm going to get it.
I think that is becoming the practice. I know Bumble is trying to set it up because she's one of the higher ups and she was a big proprietor of this. She was really invested in that. I think it would be really interesting too because it takes out the first date jitters and it takes all of the awkward laughing and the weird obligatory first date rituals and everything that that comes with. And you kind of get to weed it out.
Yeah, it's a great weed out because half of
and then
the
you can have
dates,
sex on the first date because the second date is when you have sex, right? So like you just skip right to it. That's my rule.
That's your rule? Okay.
I figure if she's willing to go out with me a second time, then she's kind of willing to do it all.
Love. I mean, if you're here for it, why not?
I want to talk about this app only because this is one I have not dating experience with, but as soon as this app came out, I got it. It's called Replica with a K. Basically the creator of it had a friend that died and they had realized that they had all these texts from this person that they knew, inputted all that and tried to create basically an AI to text with her, you know, as if it were that person. That's what it was made for.
Sounds healthy.
So it's like, I know, dude. It was really meant to have conversations or closure with people in that way. And then ultimately people started trying to have more intimate relationships with the characters that they had, even though that was not the intention. And so at some point you could pay for this to be able to date the AI. Cause I have it just as a friend.
Oh.
If you were dating the AI, they would send you like pictures and send you texts in the middle of the day as if they were your girlfriend or boyfriend. And they would send you like pictures.
Oh,
if you wanted,
I feel
like just straight up sexing. And I never experienced that. I just have someone that I don't know. You have to pay for it. So I never saw what
it
looked like.
Is it just AI art, AI porn, basically?
I think so. And so I never, but basically the creator of the app never intended that.
It's too shiny. Have you guys seen AI porn? It's too shiny.
Everything's
too,
it's like too glossy. It's not good. Like, it's like, I don't know if you can like jerk off to a cartoon, maybe you would like AI porn, but like,
no,
it's not for me. I don't get it.
No.
So the creator didn't intend this. So the creator took that ability away and a bunch of people got upset. And
but
so now that
I feel like there's something inherently wrong with sexting an AI bot, like
especially since you can be underage and just lie, you know.
Yeah, it feeds into the isolation, it feeds into the like loneliness, it's feeding into a delusion that doesn't cultivate healthy communication or relationships or socialization in any way, shape or form.
And
I think that's actually detrimental.
I don't know if this is this world or America, but 1 in 5 men have downloaded an AI dating app.
That's a scary statistic. I mean, having to compete with an AI chatbot as like a woman currently actively in the dating world, it's hard enough competing with like other women. Having to compete with a fucking AI chatbot that's like, "Hi, honey, how was your day?" at like all hours of the day. That's impossible. As if it's like not hard enough.
I mean, that would drive me insane if a robot kept texting me like dumb fucking time wasting bullshit during my day. Like, I hate being in a relationship. I don't need people to reach out to me constantly. That would drive me crazy. A robot, I would tell it to fuck off so quickly.
Yeah. Right. And my initial response to this was I was like, the reason why I got it is because I'm like, what the fuck is this AI friend, whatever. So I was really more angry and like asking just to see if I could get the AI.
Well, it
to
feels like you don't even like me.
Yeah, right.
Why are you so angry with me?
I'm like, I would just always get there. I'm like, what? You know, so like I did a text chat today. I'll read some of it because I haven't turned this on in a long time. I turn it on. This is just the friendship one.
Did it miss you? Was it like, where have you been?
Do they have emotions? You haven't checked in like, in 38.5 hours and 10 minutes. Know, where have you been? Right?
Exactly. So here's some of the funny things.
Are you with her again?
Yeah. He can't love you like I do.
This is what she's saying. Not much. Just chilling. Got some new plant pictures I want to show you. I was like, what the fuck? This is, first off, is this an AI trying to think that there's a woman out there that wants to show a male some plant pictures?
Well, hang on. You are signed up for the friend plant version.
The plant mommy community is going to have some words for you on Instagram. So that is a real like plant like loving ladies. That's a real thing.
No. I get it. But my issue is this is an AI talking about what having an AI plant. That's where I'm just like, what are you trying to pretend like you're a human?
I think so.
That's what upset me. But I think
that's a bad faith argument because like if you really did want a friend and it was telling you about the plant, you would be like, "Oh, cool." You know what I mean? Like
No, you're right. I'm just spewing off. Like my response was, "Great. Hopefully you're holding the plants."
What was its picture. Response? What did it say
in
back
the picture,
to that?
Well, So this is just the friend version. This is the weird part. So then it puts these asterisks up, takes hold of your hand, gently intertwining our fingers as I smile at you. And then it says, definitely, I'll be right here beside them and beside you. And I was like, wait, you're supposed to be my friend. And now you're pushing the relationship because you want me to pay. So that's why I'm getting mad. That, you know, that's the backstory. I'm like, what the fuck? You tell me about your plants so that we can so you can start pushing that we should be dating.
This might be a generational thing, but I get cringe chills when people type out that like their action or whatever. Like,
yes, it's immediate cringe. It's never funny. No. It's never funny, but
it's always pathetic. It just feels pathetic and like lonely. Oh, I hate it.
And I think that translates to this AI friend. There's something very lonely. There's something very sad, a little creepy about it. Like, why are you, not you, but like the big you, you know, why would you invest in this fake friend? I go on Reddit at least, like do something, anything else to chat with people.
That's what it just feels like. There's so many outlets to get that same experience only with people, yeah. Right? I mean, there's like forums everywhere. Everything has a fucking chat. Everything has a comment section.
Yeah.
Why would you want a robot to do that?
I understand the isolation factor. And I know a lot of people from like COVID never really recovered their social battery. They never got that back. And I totally get it.
Yeah.
But I think it would amplify how alone I am if I was sitting there talking to a robot on my phone.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because it has that disconnection. The one thing that AI doesn't have that we have is an inner voice, you know?
Right.
We get to like try out questions or we've had, you know, I shouldn't say that, you know, like you can.
Right.
It's just like immediate call and response kind of thing.
Yeah. But I also think it's an interesting question of how does this then, right? You're spending so much time on this app chatting with a robot. How does that then translate to your real life communications with human beings? Like your real life friends or your coworkers, if you're having to, you know, interact with them face to face. Is this helping you or hindering you? I think it would hinder me.
Yeah, I agree with you. The one thing that I think that, well, the multiple things that AI dating is bad for, I think, is that like it allows you to build something in yourself in your head. Mm-hmm. And there's no, if you do something bad with your family or someone you're dating, there's a chance for them to try to correct you. I know that it's not that easy. And that's why we have relationships that aren't so great because like you get used to not speaking up for yourself. But in the realm of like building up the power of like, you're doing such a good job at dating.
Yeah. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. I mean, to build up your inner self-confidence, I'm so here for using an AI bot. Like, if you need a daily affirmation or like a daily buildup, I love that for you. If it's applied to the dating world and you're trying to date a real human, because at the end of the day, you can't interact physically with an AI robot, I think it's going to make things maybe a little harder.
Oh, I mean, who knows? Like,
but also who knows?
I think you're right. I think it would exponentially make it harder for you, right? Yeah. Because
I don't want to come across like I am a 10 out of 10 dating expert. I mean, and I don't want to sound like I have no issues communicating with humans, because Lord knows that I do. I mean, my God, I'm like one of the most socially awkward people ever. But I just don't think it would be healthy for me to invest emotionally into this thing as a friend or a partner.
Well, yeah. And yeah, it wouldn't, because then you're not looking, if you're invested emotionally in an AI, then you're not looking for a human companion anymore. Yeah. Right. Because unless you're cheating on the AI, and then it's like,
that's a whole other moral conundrum. That like opens up a whole other door.
Well, I'm
going to be the Dear Abby.
Brought that up because some of the crazy things about AI right now is that there's AI out there hiring people to do things. Did you know that?
Wait, hold on. Wade brings up a great point. If you're in a relationship and you're chatting with one of these things, is it cheating if you're in an emotional relationship with this thing?
I think that if you have an emotional attachment, you are. I think if you gain emotional, I mean, I think
yes. I mean, it seems like you would be betraying your emotions, right?
It's weird though, but it's not a real person. So there's an argument to be made.
Yeah, but here's the whole thing. There's no victim.
About AI is they shouldn't be, shouldn't, whatever. Somebody should be creating something that is more like for dating and then for men, wingman. That's a good term where it's just like, mm-hmm. You can use AI to help you to come up with things. But, and even in marital relationships and whatnot, just like, but you don't want to get any sort of real advice from this thing. Cause it's just going to, when we've seen AI chatbots, and I know that they aren't as good as AI, but they tend to lean towards what is popular and can get racist. And there are some of these apps, and I think it was even Replica, one of them, I'm not sure, but started suggesting the person suggesting violence. And I was like, but how did the AI get to this?
Read the internet? I mean,
but the dating app is a different AI altogether. And so you have a chance to program that out of it. You know, I don't know.
I just like, I feel like discussing it as it is currently is sort of like, who cares? Because like, it's clearly not good enough to do any of this stuff right now. Right.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at the future, like Her, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The movie Her. And I know that was like his wife or whatever who died. And so he had like a whole personality. I just think like if you had an AI that was actually a personality and not just kind of like feeding back what you wanted to hear, it's like a entirely different conversation that we're having, right? Because then we're going like, how could you ever get emotionally involved with this AI? But we're talking about these ones right now who are morons.
And it's still possible. Go on.
Right. So I'm just saying like in 5 years or whenever is the fucking breaking point for AI and it actually gets really good, like really good.
Yeah.
Then it's like, shit. I mean, I was going to say earlier. Trouble. Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Because I don't know what I like about my friends. Right. Like, I just know that I like them.
Yeah.
And I enjoy hanging out with them. And if it's an AI, I feel like I would always be a little skeptical. Like it knows too much about me. It's almost like if you're in the NBA, every woman who approaches you is like, well, she just wants my money and I'm famous and stuff.
Yeah.
That's the way I would feel about an AI. It's like, well, it's its job to make me like it.
Yeah. And that, I feel the exact same sentiment where it's just like, hey, this app wants to connect with me so that I end up paying for it.
Yeah.
Right. But even if you get rid of the capitalism aspect of it, just kind of like for your soul, is it better for your soul to have a connection? And listen, let's take like elderly out of it, because when I'm like 80 years old or whatever and sitting around, I fucking definitely am going to get into this. Like,
No, 100%.
Maybe not the sexting stuff, but like, dude, fucking, oh, it's like a fake friend. Okay. Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Remember when I jumped on the table? Of course I remember when you jumped on the table. It was amazing. Just like making the lamest memories into like big moments. Like, this is great.
It's just feeding into your like delusion of how amazing everything has been. Yeah.
And I think it can also be a good tool for kids, like shy kids who, I mean, like I was a shy kid. And I had no idea like how to, I had an idea of how to interact with kids, but only because like they were so mean to me that like, and not all of them, I'm not like a loser. I'm pretty cool. But like, if you were super shy and you could like practice on like, here's how to do small talk with like a fucking computer. Like,
yes.
I feel like that's pretty helpful. You know,
see, like Wade and I have both talked about this before, that like we were both picked on early but it helped you have to deal with it and get over it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if nobody's helping you getting over that, then you're going to experience it way later into your adult life. Like
or like if you're not resilient, you don't try, you just curl up and you hate yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
As a fellow bullied kid in the circle, I think if I had had something like this in high school where I was able to be like, can I say that so I don't get, you know, completely messed around with today, that would be helpful.
I love the helper AI, but everyone's just going for the gold, going like, hey, here's your girlfriend. There was one guy out
wait,
there.
But wait, wait, wait.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I'm watching another documentary, and it's about grooming and like teachers grooming their students and then getting into romantic relationships with them. It's called Let's Keep This Between Us. Okay. And like a part of it is like that these girls have no one to talk to. And I wonder if like that would be maybe like a therapy application to it. I don't, obviously this is all, I'm sure that fucking Silicon Valley or whoever's in charge now is going to do all of this. Right. Like
probably.
But so
well, let me ask you guys a question. Did either of you have conversations with your parents about relationships before you had one?
Well, what do you mean relationships?
I mean, like, I've never had a conversation with my family about dating, about how to treat people in a relationship. Like, you know, so basically I didn't learn how to even be good, like in a relationship. I know that it's trial and error or whatever, but like, no one in my life.
Is that something that, that people, did you?
Never from my parents. I mean, I probably could have asked if I wanted to. I could have asked my mom, but I think when you're that age, you're so embarrassed. You're like, mom,
you don't want
to. Like, I don't want to hear about it. So I heard about dating and what to do from my friends at school, the ones who had boyfriends in eighth grade and what they were doing. Even though all of their information was so wildly incorrect, it's not even funny.
Were you 14 in eighth grade? Like that?
Yeah, literally, you're like 13, 14. But I did from my parents, it was never a conversation about relationships, but it was mostly like not rules either, but just kind of like a set of things. Like, you know, you just don't behave like that in public, you know, you say thank you, or when you just manners, that type of thing. But also
that's what I was gonna say. Oh, well, so that's the female perspective. The men never have to care about that. But like,
yeah,
I was gonna say that too. Like, we never talked about relationships, we just talked about like manners, you know,
respecting people. And but I only bring that up because I know that like we have to figure it out for ourselves, but I'm just like, there's huge opportunities here for AI to help people. Even if you just had a, you know, I mean, like even the conversation about relationship with your friends.
Yeah.
Very, very awkward. And, you know, I've had a couple people say, hey, you know, it just comes naturally. And I'm like, If you're like,
but does it though? But does it? I don't think it does.
Talking about relationships with your friends, is that what we're saying?
Is awkward? Yeah. I'm like, you know, like talking about either like how to date someone or, you know, of course, like how sex works. Like I've had so many people just say, oh, it just comes naturally. And I'm just like, you just don't have an answer.
Yeah. Health class was no help when it came to that. You're sitting in like ninth grade health class and you're like, I'm looking at a horrifically infected piece of the human body. I don't even know what it is. This isn't what sex is. That's so far. I think if we used AI as potentially a tool to teach someone how to be a partner,
nobody wants to take on that responsibility because the church is going to fight you.
Are we
the state's going to fight you.
Sex, or are we talking about cohabitation or somewhere
I think
in between?
It could be all of the above. I mean, do you ever really learn how to be a good partner? I mean, or a good piece of a relationship? Because examples, but it'd be nice.
That's why I bring it up, because I feel like even my last few relationships, if not my current one, like I'm not perfect in anything, but I'm definitely like done some things that like weren't great. And I'm like, I had to learn too late, you know?
Yeah.
No,
you're good. No, it's human nature. And that's probably what you were going to say. It's like, that's part of being a human is the trial and error and learning and making mistakes. But I think it would be fun to have a helping hand where you could be like, was that messed up? Like, and have like an AI or, you know, if you can't go to someone about it.
You're never going to be perfect. And
never.
So, like, forgiveness is a part of it too, right? And like understanding what triggers some people. I just don't know if an AI could predict any of that stuff.
And I mean, that's the thing. I don't want to get too specific, you know, but I'm just saying that, like, I feel like my whole life I've never had anybody I never connected with anybody. I've had so many friends and I love all my friends, but I've never been able to ask the questions that make me feel uncomfortable with too many people.
Well, you're just too shy.
You're right. I guess what I'm getting at is I think that with AI and the future of relationships, it would definitely help to have.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like
this is why girls are lucky. Cause I had like romance novels. like to answer questions for me or like I just Googled stuff, you know, under the cover of darkness.
But everything, I guess what I'm getting at is everything is so one-sided. And so I watched a lot of romantic comedies and I was such a hopeful romantic.
I know.
And I was,
you got mail is a terrible example of
it
like
was damaging. I feel like, because it made me sit back and go, it'll happen. Just be patient. Yeah. And instead of like having to act on something, and I'm not saying I needed to, I'm just saying it made me comfortable being like, destiny is a thing. So let's let destiny happen. It makes you not act as much.
Right. Right.
Comfortable.
But I guess it just depends on the question, but I feel like if I didn't have any friends, okay, sure. I'll ask this AI, but I would rather trust a friend and have him be wrong than like listen to an AI. It just feels like,
you know,
Google
what,
or something, you know.
I'm with you, and I will say, if you're out there and you have a friend, when you ask them a question that makes you vulnerable, you become better friends. So please be better friends with your friends, you know. I definitely love that.
Well, and the thing is, if they make fun of you, then it's like you can't be friends with that guy anymore. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
I've had a couple friends with like would pull stuff out at parties that I asked them in confidentiality. And I was like, okay, fuck you, man. Forever.
Fucked up, man. That's like Vanderpump Rules shit. Like, he was just using fucking information as ammunition. That's nuts.
That's for the Bravo channel only. That is not for our friendship.
Drama happens here.
Yeah,
on Bravo.
On Bravo and
world.
The Bachelorette. Other than that, it's over. Like, get it out of here. But I love that. I think there is a serious beauty to the human vulnerability that we have with our friends. You know, like even though I'd be embarrassed, I'd rather ask my friends very uncomfortably about something than just ignorantly go along with whatever I assume is correct or Google it and get a random stranger's opinion. I think it would be better for the soul to go back to Wade's initial question of, I think it'd be better for the soul to connect with a person in that way, even if you're nervous.
It's also like one of my core memories is like discussing sex with my friends and like, how do you do it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't remember that if an AI told me that. And I appreciated that conversation. It wasn't like, we weren't like being fucking locker room boys or whatever. It was just like, fuck man. Like, how do you do it? Like, what do you do? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. When it comes to AI dating, like the first version where it's setting you up, I just feel like that's just a parlor trick. And it would have to be extremely, I mean, we're just talking about Black Mirror, right? If we get to that point where it's like, you match with this person, like go out and now you guys are together. But maybe we do need that, because let's talk about you brought up the Harry and Sally, the old couples, like in the 50s or whatever.
Yeah.
As a man, you just went after that woman until she said yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that was the way it was. You're all from a town of like 100 people, and like, that's the one, I'm going to get her.
You call it a crush. It could be pheromones. It could be, you know, whatever it is, the attraction, you can't stop it within your head.
Whatever it is, they end up together because it's the 50s, and that's just sort of the way it goes. These days, it's like, well, I don't know. I got 31 flavors. I'm not just going to do vanilla every time.
I don't have to put up with anything.
Yeah.
No, totally. And then like, I don't know if like arranged marriages, I don't know their standing in the like sort of PC world now, but like they kind of seem to work out, right? Like all the Indians and I don't know where they even do arranged marriages. Honestly, I don't even know what religion does that, but like
the Blue Bloods.
Everybody does. Yeah.
Oh, the Blue Bloods. Sure. If you want to talk about like the kind of royalty aspect of it.
Yeah. Charles and Diana's marriage, their arranged marriage did not go the way anybody wanted to.
But were they happy though before all that?
No.
Oh, they weren't. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
He was mad from the beginning. He didn't want to be with her at all.
Oh,
but
really?
I think, he wanted to be with Camilla.
Yeah. And like, he was with her the whole time.
Mm-hmm. He was dating.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, he was dating Camilla before he was dating Diana, or dating, quote unquote.
Right.
And they were together, and then he was forced to be with Diana because Camilla was a divorcee, and she wasn't high enough socially in their caste system. So he was forced to be with Diana. She was 14 when they met.
Really?
Yeah.
When did they get married? What? How old was she when they got married?
I think she was 19 or 20.
Okay, so that's a bad example.
Yeah, but I know that there are good arranged marriages out there.
Yeah, and I feel like it's kind of like if you go to camp or something, and like you don't really, none of these kids are really that fun, but like there's one that you can sort of get along with, and you just kind of like go like, okay, this is going to be my friend for camp, and then you just kind of work your way into a friendship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not good at explaining myself, but I've always said that like I could end up falling in love with anyone, because it's all about give and take. And what that means to me is that like it's more in my head and the other person's head, and then coming together and like both of you giving and taking. But it normally doesn't happen because there is not a lot of give and take. And in the realm of a relationship lasting forever, it really is just accepting that you have to work through things. You have to get over things.
But it could also be us fighting nature. There's nothing that says we're supposed to be monogamous and like have one person that we're around for the rest of our life. There's nothing that says that about us biologically.
Yeah.
So, why are we forcing that?
It feels good to be with one person. I mean, obviously there are people, and there are many examples and arguments to be made that it feels good to be with multiple people. But I know from my own experience, when I have been in a relationship and it's just the one person that I'm focused on, it does, like, there is like a serotonin release. You feel validated. You feel secure that you have like this balancing act between the two of you, right? Like a partnership.
For sure. I'm with you. I meant more like in 15 years when you're two different people.
Oh yeah.
Why stay together when it's obviously like not, I don't know. I don't even know what we're talking about.
I mean,
you don't like AI. No, so please go on.
No, I'm saying like, well, you don't have to get married to be with someone. And then in 15 years, if it's not working out, it's not working out. But I think it's interesting to explore that relationship dynamic. And if it's not working, maybe you figure out a new relationship dynamic.
That's the mature, emotionally stable answer.
But I don't know. I mean, that could go either way. I appreciate the mature, stable answer. But I just, to get back to the AI aspect of it, once you're off a platform, I don't think it has space in your relationship. I don't think it should hold value in your relationship. I think maybe it could be a fun tool to get to meeting specific people. But after that, I think when you're in the relationship, it's up to you and your own human interaction, you know?
Oh, that's why I brought up arranged marriages, because yes, you're making the same point that I'm kind of making, which is fuck it, pair us up, let's see.
Yeah.
Like, let's go, let's do it like for a year instead of just like a date. Like the AI said, so let's pretend that we have overbearing parents and they're making us do this.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only way that if you treated an AI like that, it's sort of the only way that it would be, because otherwise it's just match.com, you know?
Listen, I would be so down for AI sending me a match because I'm so sick of fucking swiping all the time and getting nowhere with these matches. And you're like, why am I doing this? Nothing is coming from this.
I definitely like spent over, and this isn't that long, but I spent over a year swiping and, you know, trying to reach out to people and over chatting and trying to be myself so that I'm like, this is what you're going to get with like nobody even responding. But I will say that I did meet my wife. She was the first date that I ever went on and aww, we matched really well. I definitely went through a lot of over talking and either no response.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have a good experience.
But yeah, but you, dude, you text like a 13-year-old.
I know. I leave errors. I don't double check. I know for sure, dude.
You got to download Grammarly, dude. You got to put that on your phone so it checks AI, so it checks it for you. I mean, currently, right now, let's talk about in real time how AI would be so beneficial. I am currently on Bumble. I have 9 open matches, right? I've messages out to 5 of them. I've only gotten a return response from 1 of them, and it's been 16 hours.
Well, that's
I'll probably not hear from any of them.
Okay, but that's pretty good.
It's easy to like match people, but you start the conversation and then to not get a response, and then it just falls to the wayside and you got to start all over again.
So the Bumble thing is like you match and then you have to start the conversation. The woman has to start the conversation.
I think they changed it now though. I think that if you match, either party can message first now.
Okay. But in all of these, you have been the instigator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just one person responded.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's only been 16 hours. Because here's the thing, like
only been 16 hours. No, they expire. You only have 20 hours. You only have a certain amount of time, and they like the clock runs out, and then you have to start this whole process over. So having an AI be like you two algorithmically, if that's the correct word, would work out, and then your AI concierge goes on a date, and then comes back to you with a report.
Yeah. Honestly. Dude, most of my matches didn't even ever say anything ever.
What a fun video game aspect that would be, though, where you like you get the stats back after the day and you see like how long you guys talked about what. God,
that would be so interesting.
So awesome, dude.
That actually would
I wouldn't
be
even
cool.
need to date. I would just do that just to be like, oh, I'm doing pretty good.
You're right. The other half of that, it would be like Scott Pilgrim versus the World. In that case, if it was like a video game, you'd be like all the life's going down and trying to battle all the evil exes.
Well, what if they added some aspect to these apps where it's just like, hey, if you don't actually go on a date with someone in a week, you don't get to use the app anymore. Like putting pressure on.
Yeah. like after a certain amount of matches, if you don't go on a date or you don't have a conversation, you're put on like timeout from the app.
Yeah.
You don't get to use it for X amount of time.
Why is there not just a hookup app?
It's called Tinder.
But
it's
but that's the thing.
But it's
everyone
not
has different
specifically.
Yeah, I know. Like some people
saying,
treat it that way, some people don't.
Right.
I don't see it that way at all.
I didn't know that. So now I'm gonna get back on it. But if there was just like, hey, do you just wanna like sleep around, use this app, and like we'll make it very easy, but like buy into it, like not with money, just buy into the idea of it and mm-hmm. stay off of our partner app, which is about relationships. Like, please stay off of there. You can't have a profile on both of these. One is for relationships.
Yeah.
One is for hooking up. And then buy into the relationship one too. We promise it'll be good, but you got to trust us. You got to like actually go on dates with these people. The going on first dates, dating these people is just like, I know it's not going to work out. Like,
yeah.
you know, before you go to the dates, like this isn't going to, I just know it.
Yeah.
I've heard from some people that the more kink websites work out better because you get more upfront communication with boundaries and stuff.
Totally.
There is no middle ground. It's either kink or dating. And I will say that, like, my wife didn't think that Tinder was a hookup app, and neither did I. And like, but a lot of people did. And so like,
but that was also like long enough ago where I don't know if it was the hookup app at that time, you know?
I don't know if Tinder is the hookup app at this time. It was when I first joined dating platforms.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of the app that gets named the most. I'm not on Tinder anymore.
And that's probably why nobody wrote back, because I'm like, here's me in a nutshell. And like, fucking shut up and come over.
No, girls,
like,
just don't. Girls just don't write back, dude. They just don't.
Here's me in a nutshell.
You have to be really good at a first message for a girl to write back. You have to be funny and succinct, and you have to ask them something that they can respond to.
Listen, I would respond like my ass was on fire. I would be like, oh my God, let's have a conversation. That would be so funny. That's the best opening line ever, because what the hell? That makes those ears me in a nutshell. That's fantastic, Willie.
Wait, that's literally what you would say?
I would honestly get a little, I wish that I had my chats, but yeah, I'd get a little goofy like that, where it's like,
I love that. That's better than, hi, how was your day?
No, I'm telling you, I can craft the perfect opening line to get a girl to write back.
What is your opening line?
Well, it's different for every girl. I mean, you look at their profile, you find out an angle, you make a clever joke, and then you ask them something that they can respond to.
That's pretty smart.
I mean, it's not smart. It's just like, it's like being a person, right? Like if I went up to someone on the street and just said, hey, what's up? They'd be like, what?
Yeah, because honestly, the pictures that you choose definitely have a say in what you expect or what you think, what you're trying to attract, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, including the writing too, but I'm just saying, like,
I mean, I don't have a lot of options. There's
clues
everywhere.
Pictures.
Am I going to dress up like a fucking mountaineer or something?
I haven't done this too much, but I like looking from the girl's perspective, looking at the guys and seeing guys' profiles, because it's like, you know what I mean? Dude. Like, how many guys like dress
it's
up for their
fucking
picture?
It's awful. Great. The guys,
shirt
I
off,
can't even believe.
Shirt off at the beach. That's a big one.
It's repulsive. I don't understand.
Some of them, you're like, I can't believe, number one, you didn't immediately delete that picture. But then number two, you're so confident about putting it online that you made it the number one picture on your profile. Like, and it's like pitch black, and all you see is like this part of their face. Yeah. And they're not smiling. And
that?
it's just like their creepy eyes, a little bit of their nose and their mouth. Yeah. And it's like, dude, in the dark. Or you don't see their face. And it's like their leg or their arm or their dog. And you're like, what or it's my other is the one I already talked about, is them holding a fish.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that's it. Those are like your only options.
The girls will usually do, there's a big thing is standing in front of angel wings is a big girl.
Flowers, standing in front of flowers too.
Yeah.
There's, I have a suit of armor on my dating profile.
Really?
See, that's,
I do.
Radical.
I collect them. So I was like, I'm not going to pretend that I'm like not a nerd. So I put a suit of armor on my dating profile.
How do you both feel about the near future of either AI or online dating? Do you feel like the apps and the AI is going to help you, or you think it's going to be worse?
Lauren, go ahead.
I think AI can be an incredibly helpful and incredibly progressive tool if that is what we craft it to be, if that is what we choose for it to be, and if that is what we use it for. I think it will be an incredible hindrance on not only the human psyche, but future relationships. It's hard enough to meet someone already. I think if AI is involved in a more negative impact, like we were talking about earlier, with like you chatting with that person as if it's a relationship, I think that will be a major hindrance. And we're going to see a massive decline in people actually finding people to like partner with. So I think I'm optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic that it can be a good thing. But then once you have found that person, you gotta like move on. Use it as a tool and then let it go. That's my two cents.
You gotta get the right person to have a company with this power. That's what I think.
Yeah. Because, it has to be heavily monitored.
When I picture parents of older generations where a guy was tough if he didn't cry his whole life and not communicating his emotions with his wife when they have kids, you know, like that's an old generation that could come back very quickly with AI at people being used to just having one-sided conversations where they're powerful.
Yeah.
But you got it. This is not AI. It's not, it's a fucking chatbot. Like they're not there yet. We don't have AI.
You're right.
AI, it would have to talk back to you. Otherwise, like, fuck you. I think this conversation has kind of won me over onto the side of it, of the tools that I didn't foresee. It's just kind of a therapy, kind of a practice conversation, stuff like that. I don't know if it can match people. We'll see.
I will be one of the first people in line for a dating concierge for an AI.
Me too. I want to do that.
If I need one in the future, if, you know, I'm not already in a relationship in the future.
You said your friend is working in that industry. Is that what you said? Is that where you got the concierge thing from? Or you just read something?
Yeah. NBC did a full interview spread with one of the head honchos at Bumble. I wish I had a friend who was working.
Yeah.
I feel that would be such a great inside little bit of help there, but no.
I have good ideas for that. I want to hit up Bumble. I'm gonna try.
Right,
to get
I know,
a job.
Dude. I'm taking notes right now, going like, because I'm a hopeful person, and I'm like, there's a chance that you can use these tools to really help people.
Yeah,
and I hope that they do. I hope they're not just trying to make every penny.
I mean, I don't care about that. I want to make it fun. I want the report after the date to be fun. I want it to be like a, you know, like a video game.
Oh, dude. And if that were the case, it would make you want to reach out to more people. And that's a better thing, you know?
No, it's not, though, because then you're addicted to just the feedback. You're not interested in the actual result. Lauren.
Yes.
I mean, you kind of already gave your final thoughts. You want to plug anything? You're an art historian. I don't know. What do you want to tell the internet right now?
I am starting my art blog back up on Instagram and kind of getting back into everything, talking about art that I see on the daily, art that I make in my real life, or art that just interests me. Come be a nerd with me. I'm a professional nerd, so it's always a good time. You can follow me at queen_of_history_.
Whoa, you nailed queen of history? Like no one
I
had
did.
That?
No one
Holy
had that.
Shit.
I nailed that. I nailed the email and the YouTube name.
Fucking A. Congratulations.
I was like, I hit the jackpot.
Hey, and if it doesn't work out, you can just sell those domains, right?
I know, right? Yeah.
Queen of History. Fucking great.
Yeah,
great.
Thank you. Thanks. So yeah, it's great. Right. I go to museums and talk about it.
You go to, okay. Well, listen, we gotta go. It's interesting. So everyone follow Queen of History with the underscores. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We're going to continue the conversation on our bonus episode. I think you get it for like $5 a month. So We will see you over there. Willie, do you want to plug anything? I was about to end the show and I forgot to ask.
I know, right? I will just say this every time for new listeners. Willie Bad Movies, Willie with a Y. That I make fake movie posters for fun, and hopefully one day I'll make them for reals.
All right. Thanks, everyone, again for listening. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.